Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Well, 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 welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend the hour with us, we're really, really glad to have you. It's a really sexy time of year, just in general. It is spring. It's that time for freshness, renewal, etc. But it's also a great time just to find and dip into your life and figure out what's been working really well, and especially with fashion. And one of the things that I love are corsets. They're absolutely beautiful. And we happen to have one of the most amazing, amazing women who, Elise Embrace, in town, that creates the most amazing, beautiful corsets, which I can say on a personal level, I've had the opportunity to try one at one point, and it made my waist look so amazing, and I felt so sexy in it. It was incredible. And what's really cool is the owner, Melanie Tarlington, is going to be on the show tonight, which I'm very excited about because she's got a really special fundraiser coming up on May the 27th, which we'll be chatting about during the show. And as well as that, she is going to be raising money. And you're probably wondering, what is she raising money for? She's going to be raising money to open the first corset museum in the entire world. And I think it's really cool that she's chosen to do that right here in Van City. So I'm going to welcome Melanie to the show.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for calling in. I'm really excited about this and the fact that you're going to be doing the museum, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. It's been a fantasy of mine for many, 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 many years.
How did you get into corsets originally?
My first fascination was probably piqued when I saw, or wasn't allowed to see, so whenever you're not allowed to see something, you want to see it even more.
Mm-hmm.
The movie The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas with Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds.
I loved that movie.
It's a great movie. It's super fun and campy, and we've actually had theme parties based around it as well. So the opening scene of the movie is obviously a lot of women scantily clad in their lacy lingerie and corsets and bustiers and things like that. And so I realized that Dolly Parton wasn't shaped like an average woman, and asked my mother about it and was told that she wore corsets. And that led the next battery of questions about what's a corset, why did women wear them, and asked all the women in my family. And it was always an answer. I got multiple answers to what a corset was, and just one of those curiosities that never went away.
Just out of curiosity, what were some of the answers they gave you as to what a corset was before you found out what it really was for?
They said that it would make a woman's waist smaller, and I said, why would a woman want her waist to be smaller? And they said, well, they used to wear them in the olden days, and you know, to find out why would a woman in the olden days want to wear something that would make their waist smaller. And it's, you know, they couldn't quite explain that. They would just say, I don't know, they just did it, and my great-grandmother wore them, and my grandmother didn't wear them, and I just would kind of go through the family asking questions, hearing their story, what did it look like. They would try to explain it to me, but nobody could actually show me an example. So it was just one of those burning questions that always got different answers. Of course, I was quite young at the time, so I can't remember everything. But it was just, you know, I like Little House on the Prairie as well. So the fact to know that Laura Ingalls wore a corset and all the women in the show were wearing corsets, and made me wonder why. So when I started to do research on corsetry, I saw that there were modern corsets kind of from the 50s and the 60s and the fetishy ones being produced, but I wanted to know what a Victorian woman felt wearing a corset and why Victorian women wore corsets, because in the 70s, obviously, corsets were not popular, so it was a very underground thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to know, you know, if there was something that made thousands, millions of women wear a corset and adapt a corset as part of their wardrobe for hundreds of years, what was it that made them do that? So that's kind of how my collection started and grew.
And how big is your collection?
It's the world's largest collection, which I found out last summer. And I base that by seeing what the museums have, because I would assume museums obviously have extensive collections. And there was a museum in England, the Symington Museum, and they, according to Valerie Steele, who has written many books on the subject of history, they had the world's largest collection, which was 125 antique corsets. And then the Metropolitan Museum of Art has recently, and many museums actually, have recently put their collections online, which is a wonderful resource for anyone interested in any subject. You can go to check the museum collections online and research a variety of subjects and see pictures and things like that. So the Met has put their corset and costume collection on their online collection, so you can see them to study them. And I think they have, 147 or something antique corsets in their collections, and I'm getting close to 200, I think. I haven't counted, but I know that I have more than them.
So, 200 corsets, that's incredible.
Yeah, so, and they date back to the 18th century. From most of them are Victorian corsets, Edwardian corsets, which is after 1900, up to the 20s. And then once they stop using a busk in the corset, which is the metal clasp that makes it easy to put on and take off, once they stop having a busk in them, I don't necessarily classify them as a corset anymore. So, so that's kind of how I base my counting.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And congratulations. Thank you. Absolutely fantastic. So just out of curiosity, if you had someone come to when the museum is set up and they were a young lady or a young girl and they asked you what are corsets for, how would you describe it now based on the fact that you got so many different answers when you were a kid?
Well, my first answer would be, do you want to try one on? Because that would have been something I would have loved to have experienced. And it would have been the first way for someone to understand and answer a lot of questions. So, yeah, so that would have been something I would have enjoyed just trying and trying to understand why someone would want to wear it.
Yeah.
But we do have a lot of women will come by the shop or families or going by, because Main Street's a very family area as well, and they'll come in with the kids and show the kids and say, they used to wear these in the olden days, and kind of tell them the same stories that I would hear, and then the kids would ask, and I'm quiet, I let the parents educate their children, unless they ask me, and if the parents seem open-minded enough, I say if they want to try one, and Mom, if you want to try one, you know, we always welcome anyone who wants to come by the shop and experience trying on a corset. It's the best way to experience that is to try it on firsthand, just like when you tried one on too, because there are many benefits to wearing a corset. And, you know, usually from a child's perspective, they say, oh, it's, you know, it's weird, I can't move, I can't run, I can't play. But in the Victorian time, children were expected to be miniature versions of adults. So it was a great way to keep the children disciplined, keep them healthy, because it was common to corset children, and the, you know, even with babies, we still put undershirts on them, which an undershirt is a form of the type of bodice that they used to put on babies just to keep them warm and keep them, you know, babies are very weak, and there'd be many people in the household handling the children, so you'd want them to be swaddled or bound quite tight so that they wouldn't be injured. Yeah, there's a fascinating, full history behind corsetry.
That's fantastic. Is it true, fact or fiction, that men actually started wearing corsets before women did? Because I heard in the, and I didn't know if it was true, I'd heard a rumor about that years ago back in the, I believe it was the 14th century, that men used to wear them first for health reasons. And then from there, the fashion changed. And it kind of reminded me of like ballet shoes, which started off with men originally. And then women started wearing them instead.
That's a very interesting question. I haven't ever researched it from that perspective, or heard, I know that men did wear corsets, but I'd have to dig and try to do some research to see more about the history of men's clothing or underclothing. But back in the 14th century, I think that might have been around Henry VIII.
Mm-hmm.
And they wore a vest. It was called a doublet. And they are quite rigid, so sometimes they were made out of kind of like vegetable tan leather, and they would be designed to give them a fuller chest and make them look more masculine. And the clothing was quite padded, which would also keep them warm.
Mm.
So maybe the doublet, which would be laced onto them,
mm-hmm.
or on like laced at the sides so it was adjustable, could be referred to as a corset. So I could see some connections between the two of them.
Yeah. I could see that too. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for telling me about that. I'll have to do some more research.
You're welcome. And I'm not sure if it's true or not, so I was just curious in regards to it, because I'd heard that quite earlier on as well when I was quite young.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I thought it was really, really neat. So.
Well, I know in military they would also wear them. Just it gives a nice straight line underneath their uniforms. It gives them a very erect posture. We are working on a Gentleman's Delight corset, and the corset does, when we've tried it on men with a fuller stomach,
mm-hmm.
the way that the brace pulls in their stomach, it actually does make their chest appear quite broader, and it gives that nice triangular Superman figure.
So, I love that.
Yeah, it's amazing the difference that it makes, because I just acquired a man's corset patented in 1888 for my collection, and we made a copy of it, and it was quite interesting to try it on a couple of gentlemen clients and see how it was working. So, yeah.
I think that's really neat. With the corsets that you sell in your shop, are they ones that you've created yourself in terms of patterns, or are they patterns that are based on original patterns that you've collected over the years?
I have made my own corsets from scratch, the corset patterns, but there's always a lot more tweaking that you have to do to them to get them to be comfortable, to figure them out, to get the shaping. So I do prefer to start with my antique corsets and go from there. And then that way I have a good foundation, something that has been tried and tested and works really well, gives an amazing figure. And then we modify the patterns from there. So we'll basically use an antique corset pattern to get the waist shaping, and then we'll lengthen it to cover the bust, or cut it shorter, lengthen it to give more tummy control.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it is modifications, or else we'll use that as a base and then change the design lines. Sometimes it's a combination, but I really love the art of the corset, and they were genius pattern drafters, especially in the Edwardian era. Around 1900 to 1906, the corsets are very, very extreme, really tiny through the waist, and then they flare out over the hips, and they just give this amazing, it's called the S-bend or powder pigeon figure, and they're just a marvel as far as drafting goes. The seams are curved, and, you know, to try to draft that from scratch would take me a long, long time to do. And they're quite complicated to sew as well. So it's just so rewarding to be able to take a pattern from an antique corset and then make a copy and get to try it on and see how it feels.
In general, compared to when a lot of, especially with 18th century corsets, are women's bodies a lot different in this day and age compared to then?
I'd say that we're taller, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say that we're bigger. You know, a lot of people say that we're bigger, and maybe bigger means taller.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the clothing, people assume that people were very small back in the day because the clothing that survives is very small.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason that small clothing survives is because it didn't fit anybody. So it was her wedding outfit or her going away dress or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that that got saved was because shortly after she got married, when she was probably about 16, she then had children. And after she had children, she wasn't able to fit back into her pre-wedding clothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you know, I wouldn't say, because I do have antique corsets in my collection that are very, very large and very colorful. So, you know, they were the matrons of the family, and just because they were large, they didn't hide it. They weren't ashamed of their bodies. They still dressed just as fashionably as the younger women or the slimmer women dressed. So, mm-hmm. you know, it was actually in the Edwardian period after 1900 that the woman in her 30s, 40s, the married woman, the matron of the family, was the fashionable woman of the time. Whereas today, the fashionable woman of the time is kind of the Christina Aguilera's, you know, and very fit and firm-bodied and young. But yeah, so it's interesting how history changes and what's considered fashionable.
It's true. It's really interesting. We are going to take a really, really, really tiny short break. And when we come back, I want to find out more. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
Become a friend of CITR and receive great discounts at businesses around Vancouver.
Your Friends of CITR card will get you sweet deals on the West Side and UBC area at Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, Displaced Hasheries, The Eatery, Fresh is the Best Salsa, Gumdrops, Illusion Studio and Spa, Kerner's Pub, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and West Coast Music.
And don't forget the UBC Bookstore. It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or visit us online at citr.ca.
...2011 marks the 25th anniversary of the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Chinese Garden since opening in 1986. The Dr. Sun Yat-sen Chinese Garden is very pleased to have been able to connect cultures and communities for the past 25 years and continue being an arts and cultural hub in the neighborhood and the city. Watch for complimentary specials on the 25th day of every month. There are also blockbuster exhibits, community events, academic conferences, and music and theater productions lined up, plus contests and giveaways. CITR 101.9 FM is proud to be a year-long partner as the Garden celebrates its 25th anniversary. For more information, visit www.vancouverchinesegarden.com.
Show your Friends of CITR card or simply mention that you heard about the garden on CITR to receive $2 off admission.
Liveband.com is Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar. New shows are added daily by the city's most active promoters, musicians, and by the driving force of the music scene, the fans. Liveband.com's listings are different because they are integrated with profiles updated by bands and business owners as they promote upcoming events. Check out the archives to see how closely we've worked within the community to put on the shows you love. Visit livemusicvancouver.com for the latest independent and major label event listings. Liveband.com, Vancouver's community-driven concert calendar.
Back in Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking to the lovely, the fabulous Melanie Tarlington from Lace and Brace. And we've been chatting just about corsets and about the fact that she is doing a fundraiser on May the 27th at, I believe it's at the, is it at the Highcroft Manor?
Yes, it's at Highcroft.
I love Highcroft. It's such
my
a great
dream
place.
House.
100% agreed. If I could afford it, that'd be so amazing.
Well, all you have to do is become a member of the University Women's Club, and you can also have a piece of that as your house. So
that is true, and especially since we're on UBC campus, I think it's something that hopefully some of our listeners would like to be part of, because I think it's gorgeous. I've been there a few times. I was lucky enough to be one of the keynote speakers for Person's Day, so I've been there before, and I know Ivan Sayer, who is, I'm not sure if what the correct term is, but I think he's a clothing historian.
Yeah, costume historian, yeah.
He's. I've been to a couple of his fashion shows there over the years, and it's such a beautiful space.
Yeah, it is. It's First time I was there, I think, was with Ivan. So when I got to see the space, I went, oh, I can't believe we have places so beautiful here. And that we appreciate, in some aspects, the history of our city. And I wish we appreciated it more.
It's very, very true. So in regards to with corsets, because corsets, in terms of history, it's that taste of it and making someone feel really awesome. Well, I know how I felt, so that's the one thing I can relate to in regards to when I've tried one of yours on before. What kind of a reaction, because you're mentioning sometimes people come in with the families, sometimes they come in on their own, and when people get a chance to try and try on, say, an Edwardian versus like a Victorian style and just seeing what's right for their body and all the different types, have there been some key moments where you're just like, wow, this is why I got into what I do and this is why I'm meant to do what I do?
I'd say probably one of the more recent moments that I had like that. I do have them frequently, but one that made me feel like $1 million and just so kind of excited to help someone was actually at the Taboo sex show that happens every year here. And I was at the booth and this couple walked by and they kind of looked and I smiled, said hi, and I could see that they were signing to each other. So they were both hearing impaired. And so I made eye contact with them and said hi to them. And then so they came into the booth and she was looking around and she pointed up at a little sailor costume with a red corset and like that. And then signed to her boyfriend and pointed to it. And then, you know, and he only wanted to know how much. So it was kind of funny. So then I would tell her, because she could read my lips, and then she would sign to him. And then I said, do you want to try it on? So she tried it on, and then she comes out, and she's like a gorgeous woman, comes out, looks super sexy in a little sailor costume, and then I put the corset on her. And she loves it. She's excited, and she shows it to him, and he's just like, how much? She's in love with it. And then they get in an argument, a sign language argument over the outfit, which I think the costume was only $98 or something, and the corset started at $225, but it was kind of funny to see how they got in the argument, and then after she got changed, and then she came out of the fitting room, and they went to walk around, and then they came back, and it was the corset that she liked the best. And I said, well, you know, come back, because it was really busy at the show, and I told her to come back to the shop and see me, and I would teach her how to lace herself into the corset and give her more information and show her other styles and things like that. So she did come back to the store about a month later, and Aaron, who also works at the store, was happy to see her and really welcoming, and so she just loved it. And then the burlesque festival was actually going on, so it must have been a few months later, so this was actually the year before, and we told her about it, so she ended up coming to the burlesque festival last year as well.
Oh, wow.
And really loved being part of the community and wearing her corset, and I just felt so great that I could, you know, still communicate with somebody that I don't know sign language, but we're able to communicate and connect and share similar interests. So, yeah, so it's really interesting and fun experience.
That's really, really, really cool. Yeah. And actually, I should probably plug that right now as well. The Burlesque Festival, I believe it's opening on May 5th this weekend.
It does. It opens tomorrow night.
Wow.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
And we've got some absolutely, truly amazing burlesque talent in town, too, for everybody from Sweet Soul to with the Vancouver Burlesque Center as well. They've got some great people, of course, Screaming Chicken. We've just got so many, I can't even count, the lovely Jenny Magenta. We've just got some really, truly talented burlesque talent in town.
We do, and this is like a fabulous burlesque city, and there's also people coming in as well. I believe there's performers coming in from out of town. I saw Judith Stein perform last year. She was absolutely amazing. She's a legend, and it's very, very high caliber burlesque. If you're ever going to go to a burlesque show, this weekend would be the best time to go and check it out and see some fabulous burlesque. There's people that actually come from all over. You know, they come up from Seattle and everything to enjoy the festival.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah, and it's at the Vogue Theater on Friday and Saturday, so it's a beautiful big space, and the costumes are phenomenal.
Is anybody going to be wearing your corsets for the show?
Oh, yes. I'm very excited to see our corsets out and about in the city, and especially with the burlesque community, we do outfit quite a few of them.
Mm.
And, we also carry Misty Greer, who also designs a lot of burlesque costumes, so and really funky stuff. She's also done a headpiece for Lady Gaga, so she's just a really creative woman, and so she does have her collection in our store as well. So we do have a very strong burlesque community following at Lace Embrace, and try to bring lots of things in to help them out with their costumes and glamour and just having fun. So the shop's been busy with lots of people coming in to get their costumes, and it's a great chance to get dressed up and have a good time.
And I think in Vancouver, which everybody calls No Fun City, I think sometimes those people just don't know where to look to find the fun, because we've got a beautiful community. And especially with the Vogue, I imagine in regards to what to wear, not just on stage, but as well just going to the burlesque festival. And, of course, on the 27th, it would be really great for them to pop in the store in advance and see what you have.
Absolutely. Yeah, come play dress up with us.
So for someone who's coming in to paint me a picture in terms of I'm coming through, I've never had it tried on a corset before, how much time should I allocate so I have a chance to play?
Some people stay for hours, but for the most part, it could take upwards of a half an hour.
Okay.
But then the people who like to stay longer want to try on other styles, want to try on some Misty Greer clothing as well, and the fascinators. And some people just love the feel of the corset and how they look in it. They just say, put me in an outfit. I need to go to a wedding, or I need to go to the burlesque fest, or I need to go to whatever, to Sin City. They'll come in and get a whole outfit put together. Or there's people who just, you know, are curious, and they are out wandering around Main Street and happen to stumble upon our shop and come in just to see and then hear about what we do and have never tried a corset on. So we always give people that opportunity to try one on and experience how it feels, and then they're usually find out that the myth of it being uncomfortable isn't true, and that they are comfortable, and they improve their back and give them good support and flatten the tummy, which is, I think, a woman's number one body issue is their stomach.
Mm-hmm.
So that just, it's instant. It gives instant weight loss, instant posture, instant glamour,
mm-hmm.
instant sexiness, instant everything. So, yeah, there's lots of, I'm still always kind of finding new benefits from wearing corsets, and right now all of the girls at the shop were having a waist training competition to see who has the greatest percentage of inch loss. So, yeah, we've got a little wager going until after our event on May 27th, when we'll have a measure off and see who's lost the biggest percentage.
So considering that's just in time for bikini season, what exactly does that consist of? Is it tightening a little tighter every day, or as you're losing the inches off the waist, or how does that work?
Well, we're all on a it depends on each of us.
Mm-hmm.
There are no rules. It's all up to our own personalities.
Okay.
But typically we've been wearing them pretty much every day.
Wow.
Okay. And when one of us isn't, we're like, hey, where's your corset? So we're also kind of, you know, boosting each other in a positive way too, to say, you know, you should put that back on. I'm going to win the competition. So, yeah. And then, you know, people like to come in also and see the corsets and see all the different ways that we're wearing them. Because there are a bazillion different ways that you can take a corset, even though it might be expensive for some people's budgets. It's just one garment that you can wear for many, many years in many different ways. So you can make the same corset look so different by changing the rest of your ensemble that people wouldn't notice that you are wearing the same corset. So you can get really good mileage out of one major fashion accessory. So.
Which I think that's really important to remember, too, that the pieces that you can keep for a really, 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 really long time, the fact that you're opening a museum with pieces that are really well made as well, it's like that's really, really important when you're thinking of buying garments.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it's custom to you.
Yeah, and it's just something that you know, if you take care of it, it will last you a long time. And the antiques in my collection were special to the people who owned them.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have ones that were well, well, well worn, and they're quite dirty, and they've never been washed and patched and repaired and restored and kept on going. And, you know, so there's it's interesting to kind of try to figure out the stories behind the antique corsets that I collect. And, because I'm not always lucky to get the history of the woman and her underwear. So I'm sure some of them might have been worn in a brothel. Quite possibly, or, yeah, so.
What are some of the stories that you do have? What are some of the more unique ones that you've heard that kind of surprised you?
Well, again, it's very difficult to get the history, so usually you'll get the name of the person. And when they were married or who they were married to, but you don't get any stories. So I haven't gotten any stories.
You always sound disappointed
about that.
But sometimes
I get vibes. So I'll get a vibe about a corset, and I'll be like, wow, it's so amazing and so beautiful. And, you know, some of them you can tell that they obviously came from a very, very wealthy household, and this was her evening corset, and this was her wedding corset, and they were worn, but she obviously had so much clothing that they were just special occasion ones, and worn once or twice, and then packed away. And then there was, like, I guess the one of them was a woman who was in Ireland and immigrated to Canada. I got the story from Ivan Sayers, and it was part of his collection, and he gave it to me as a birthday gift, so it was very kind of him. And it was a woman who immigrated from Ireland. Her name was Molly Mason, and he ended up getting her whole wardrobe. She had a trunk of clothing that she brought with her from Ireland when she immigrated, and they went to Saskatoon, and she ended up running a farm, so all of her good clothes that she brought with her weren't possible to be worn because she had to take care of a farm. So her clothes basically sat in a trunk and eventually ended up in Ivan's hands, and he was able to get the family history of her. And there was one corset in there that is, I believe it's an English corset, and it's made with tapes, and they call it a skeleton corset because it's all just tapes with a little bit of space between them, so it's breathable. And they would wear them in the summer. And it kind of looks like ribs in a way. And the busk is covered in kid leather so that it doesn't rust. And so she brought that. And then you can see where that she had altered it to make it bigger. Because she obviously must have had children. And then her corset was too small. But she still wanted to wear it. Because a corset was the reason women wore them is because they made your waist smaller. But they were also the bust support. Bras didn't exist at the time, so women would wear corsets to improve their posture because they wouldn't want to grow crooked, to have a poor posture. In Victorian society, it was really important to have a correct posture and carry yourself properly in society. And people would judge you by your posture, judge you by your status, judge you by everything. So you always wanted to be proper.
Mm-hmm.
And if you weren't corseted, you were a loose woman, and there was always all these funny stories. So she altered her corset to make it bigger, and then eventually couldn't wear it anymore, and it just got packed away carefully with all the rest of her wardrobe. So, and still is with us today, and being preserved. So, another, if you see the poster for our antique corset exhibition, it's a beautiful scarlet red silk corset. And that corset was actually deaccessioned from the New Bedford Whaling Museum. And it went up for auction to an auction house in New York. And I have always wanted a scarlet red silk corset. There's one in the Vancouver Museum collection. Which the story behind that corset was that the woman had bought it to wear on her wedding day underneath her wedding gown, a red silk corset. And her girlfriend chided her so much about wearing a red corset on her wedding day that it wasn't known if she actually ended up wearing it.
So, oh, my goodness.
And then it eventually became part of the Vancouver Museum collection. So it's quite a beautiful red silk corset and something I coveted, but can't have because it's theirs. And this red, scarlet, red silk corset came up for auction with an auction house in New York, and I phone bid on it and ended up, I found out later that I outbid the Metropolitan Museum of Art for that corset.
Wow.
So, the Met had passed on a message to me that once I got it, if I wasn't happy with it, they would be happy to buy it from me still. So after I got that story, I went, oh, well, yeah, you really can't have it. So, yeah. So that one will be on display at our exhibition, and everyone can see why I fell in love with it.
No, that sounds fantastic. So paint me a picture of what the, on the 27th, what the day is going to look like.
Well, this is our second annual event. So last year was the first time that we did it, and it's in Highcroft, which is my dream house and a fantasy place to have a museum. It's just a lovely, beautiful house, a great place to enjoy a mansion for a day, enjoy the gardens, an opportunity to get dressed up. So all of our clients who buy corsets, it's a chance to wear it and be with other people, meet other people who wear corsets. We've added a Belle Epoque Cafe luncheon, so we have a VIP luncheon that's a sit-down. The tea room is providing all of the food for it. We've got champagne and coffee and tea and sandwiches and I'm drawing a blank. Macarons and...
Oh, I love those things.
Yeah. We just talked to the caterer like last week. I should remember what we're making, what kind of food she's doing. French food. I'm sorry, it's late at night right now. So we're doing a nice luncheon, and then there'll be a fashion show for the VIP ticket holders, and that is a new collection of Parisian-inspired corsets that I'm busy flossing and embroidering by hand and trimming with antique lace and things like that. So it should be quite beautiful. And then at 12 o'clock, the general admission tickets come in and people can come in and enjoy the house. We've got some great silent auction donations. We have Madame McRae's boudoir, which is going to have a photo booth by Shimona Henry of Pinup Perfection.
Oh, she's got some amazing stuff, too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So she'll be doing her photographic talents in the photo booth, and we're hoping that people will come in and pay a donation to have their digital photo taken by a very lovely photographer, and we'll be posting the pictures online so people can see themselves. And we've got some big plans for setting the room up very glamorous and making nice space for that. And then we have a bunch of vendors who will be selling wares that are complimentary to the house and the corsets and just fun ways to accessorize your costume. And then at 1 o'clock we'll be opening up the exhibition in the ballroom, and I will do a brief talk about the pieces in my collection and our vision for a museum, and then the models who are in the VIP luncheon will also be in the exhibition as well, so people can see the corsets that were painstakingly produced. And, so it's just a really beautiful, elegant day. There's lots. Last year we sold out well before, and I was quite surprised because it was car-free days in Kitsilano and Commercial Drive and Main Street and Father's Day. So we did our event, and we still managed to sell out. So this year we got smart and didn't plan it on Father's Day. And, yeah, we're hoping to have a really great, successful event and give No Fun City another fun chance to get dressed up. And hopefully it'll be a nice sunny day and people can enjoy the gardens. It's so picturesque there.
It's
a great
amazing
place to take photos. So that's why we also encourage people to be dressed up so you can have a nice little photo shoot. We already have so many photographers lined up to come and take pictures. And yeah, it's just a really fun day.
I think it sounds awesome. I want to find out more, which I'm going to, we're going to take a really quick short break, but I want to ask what your vision, and when we come back, I want to find out more about what your vision of the museum is, so then that, and how much money you want to raise. So we're going to take a really quick short break. You're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back.
2012 Grammy Award winners Tedeschi Trucks Band brings their blues-inspired show to the Vancouver Centre for Performing Arts for one night, June 19th. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.ca or by calling 855-985-5000. Don't miss Tedeschi Trucks Band on June 19th at the Vancouver Centre for Performing Arts. For more information, go to TedeschiTrucks.com.
Well, I came to the city.
Vancouver will be twirling its tassels for the seventh year in a row when the Vancouver International Burlesque Festival takes to the stage May 3rd to 5th at the Rio and Vogue Theatres. There are more international performers this year than ever before, including the current reigning queen of burlesque, Miss Indigo Blue, and the boylesque sensation, Jet Adore. The festival has variety acts, live music, comedians, and burlesque all together in three nights of the sexiest and most entertaining weekend of the year. Tickets are available from northerntickets.com or visit the festival website at vanburlesquefest.com.
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. Or you could be listening to our podcast, but if you are, I'm hoping you're getting to hear this before the 27th of May, because I'm talking to Melanie, who has been very kind and has not corrected me, but Melanie Talkington. And she is the owner of Lace and Brace, which I'm so excited to have on the show. She's been giving us a lot of wonderful information about corsets and about the fact that she is doing this lovely fundraiser on the 27th. And I'm really excited because I'm going to hopefully be volunteering and we'll get to try on a corset. So she has the best ones in the entire city and possibly the entire world. So it's quite cool. So I had to brag about that. So in regards to on the 20, in regards to the actual museum itself, what is your vision? Like in perfect world, money not an option. Where would you like to see it in town? What do you see in terms of like other pieces you'd like to acquire, etc.?
Well, sorry?
Oh, it's echoing. I'm not sure why.
I thought you were talking. Maybe it's gone now.
Let's try it now.
My perfect world vision of the corset is to have one of those beautiful old sandstone bank buildings so that I can keep the collection in the vault, the stuff that's not on exhibition, and just have this very, very elegant, beautiful, high-ceilinged space with grand entrances and marble floors and,
something...
very, very regal, and just that when you walk in the door, it takes you back in time.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky enough to go to Venice for Carnival this past February, and it's a very ancient city built in the 15th, 16th, 17th centuries, and to see people dressed in 18th century costumes in 18th century buildings was so normal and so natural that it was kind of messed with my head that when I came home, I felt like I was in a dream world here. and that me being in Venice in costume in these places was actual reality.
Hmm.
And it took me a few days to kind of go, wait a minute, no. So I just would like to see the collection in a historical, beautiful, grand building so that when you walk into the building and you experience the collection and see the clothing, that it feels very natural and very normal, and you get a perception of what it was like then. To see these exquisite garments. I mean, you know, women didn't have to work, and in some cases their job was to display their husband's wealth. So display they did. And the thing that I love the most about the corsets is that hardly anybody ever saw her corsets, but the fact that they were so exquisite and so beautiful mm-hmm. that she got to wear such elegant lingerie and only her maid and her husband would see it is just mind-blowing. And if the corset was that stunning, then what was the rest of her costume like? And what was her day like? And what was, you know, it's just a totally bizarre concept for us today when we're doing yoga and running around and so active and trying to do all the things and fit everything in that we do in a day. Very different lifestyle. So I just like to try to keep the history. And even when you come to our shop, we try to give you a sense of history and educate you and let you understand and experience that. So it's really important to us to share the experience, I guess.
I think the experience makes such a huge difference, and I love that you give that to people. It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So what's next for you? Like, what is the timeline for the museum in terms of how much money do you need to raise?
Well, right now we're just looking for a way to kind of start small, obviously, and have an exhibition space. Obviously, there's not enough in the budget with real estate, the price that is today, to have an actual storage facility that would house the collection and be something equivalent to the Museum of Anthropology, which is absolutely stunning. Mm-hmm. And I was privileged to actually go into their storerooms and see their beautiful, very lovely storage facilities that they have. And they even had sticky tape at the doorway so that when you walked in, your shoes, it would take the dust off of your shoes.
Wow.
Before you walked into the lab. And it was very lab-like in there. And just to have all the, you know, all of the objects are in acid-free boxes and properly cataloged and everything is pristine. You know, I'd like to be able to give my corset collection the same attention and care that a museum gives them.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the world's largest collection. It does deserve that. So that's my ultimate fantasy, is to be able to have that and to share the objects with the public, let people see them, learn about them, understand them, which is why we kind of are modern-day corseteers and allow people to experience it also. But I think, you know, the city does need a fashion museum, and Ivan Sayers has been working really hard with the original Costume Museum Society to establish a museum of costume and textiles in the city as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a great, great team. They do a lot of wonderful productions. Ivan does historical fashion shows, which I have modeled for him for a number of years. And it was actually Ivan who inspired me to focus my collecting on corsetry because I loved it so much and pushed me to get my business started. I remember one day he yelled at me and he's like, if you're going to start making corsets, you better get on it. You're not getting any younger. Yeah, it was funny. So he's been a really influential person for me in my life, and you know, and his dreams are also my dreams, and so I'm trying to break out of the mold as far as a museum setting goes and doing that, because I know a lot of museums are always struggling. The city is cutting back on money for the arts, which is always frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just trying to create our own little niche, however we can do that. So this fundraiser is just another opportunity to open doors, to start saving money and start planning and see, you know, what realities we can make happen, however small they be, however big they might be. It's just, you know, last year's event was so successful. We did raise some money, and that's been put away into the bank, and now we're doing it again to raise more money and just keep working towards our vision. So, yeah.
If there's anyone who wants to help out in regards to raising money for you, is there a way that they can do it, even if, because of course the show's going to sell out, we already know that, which is fantastic. If, say they can't come to the show, or maybe they're listening from Toronto or somewhere else, because we do have listeners from different parts of the world, is there a way that they can contribute in some way, shape, or form? What's the best way to reach you in regards to, or have you got a page set up where they can like basically hit a donate now button?
We haven't set up our donate now button. It's on my list of to-do things. But they can always get in touch with me by email or on our website.
And why don't we email
info@laceembrace.com. And then hopefully we'll be motivated to get the donate now button online tomorrow or something. As I said earlier, I'm not super tech savvy, but I do have some lovely ladies, Lace and Bracelet ladies, who helped me with that, little Miss Risk. So, so we can try to get her on that project. And, but we're always open to ideas and suggestions for how we can make this a reality, or if people want to help us out with donations. We do actually have some things in works at the moment. It would probably, but it's still very premature. So,
yes. So until it's actually everything signed and ever ready to rock and roll.
Exactly. I'm not at liberty to divulge anything at this particular moment, but there are doors opening. So this event is something that we do really need to raise the money so that the doors can be fully opened. Because we are looking at having the option of having gallery space actually in our own shop. But that requires us to either expand and get a bigger space or, come up with other ideas to be able to do that, because it's difficult for me to be able to travel between two different locations. So ideally it works if Lace and Brace and the Antique Corset Museum are in the same location, and then people can try on a corset and see the original inspiration of it. So that's kind of where we're going, and hopefully in the fall we'll actually be seeing that as a reality. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And last but not least, and this may sound like an odd question, is the event on the 27th, is that a female-only event, or is it male-female?
It's all ages. There is alcohol there. There's a cash bar, but we're open. It's a very family event. We want everyone to come. Last year we did have a couple of, I think, 8 or 9-year-old girls, but we have families coming, we have grandmothers coming, you know, I think one of our clients is even bringing her 2-year-old little girl, so I get to looking forward to meeting her for the first time as well. So it's definitely an all-ages event, and it's just a beautiful day in a beautiful house, and everyone's just good spirits and elegantly dressed. Last year we had a bunch of girls showed up, and they were in full hoop skirts, and there were some anime girls there, and so a lot of people come all dressed up. We've got men dusting off their tuxedos. it's not a woman-only event by any means, and actually we did have some men there in corsets last year, too.
Oh, that's fantastic, and I'm thinking even though the ones that you've created as well, the ones that you're mentioning that helps with the stomach and making the chest look even more. I love the whole triangular shape.
Absolutely, so nice. So hopefully our prototypes will be completed. We can actually have those on display, too. So
that'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And I'm just going to get you to plug the website again, just because is that where they can buy tickets as well?
Yeah, you can buy tickets at laceembrace.com or at Brown Paper Tickets as well. Perfect. And you can come by our shop, which is on 219 East 16th Avenue at Main Street. And you can try on a corset, see some lovely merchandise. And we are also selling tickets there. So, yeah.
That sounds perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been lots of fun.
And I can't wait to be there on the 27th.
So. I look forward to seeing you. We'll get in touch with you about your fitting.
Yay! That sounds perfect. Thank you. And up next is Hans von Claus's Misery Hour. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back next week at this. I was going to say right back, but we'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a wonderful night, everyone. And don't forget to check out the Burlesque Festival this weekend and buy your tickets for the 27th. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Are you walking to class? Are you grabbing a coffee? Got lunch hour to kill? We invite you to fill the silence of your day with the sound of some live music. Music on the Mind? UBC's newest student concert initiative invites the School of Music out of the concert hall into the schoolyard. 10 concerts at 5 venues on one campus. Let's get Music on the Mind at UBC. For more information, visit ubcmusiconthemind.com. Sponsored by CITR Radio, Vancouver, BC.